very few words that I could muster up today what I really think about Brother and Sister Linder and their family and the great witness that they've been to me, because this is a global pastor, his wife and his children, and I appreciate them very much today. I believe that we've had a great weekend. It's been heavenly here at Heaven View. The Lord has met with us Friday and Saturday, and he's going to do that again this afternoon. My wife is a school teacher. She usually tells me with my classes that I shouldn't go ahead and give anybody more than 100%. This weekend, I'm hoping that you're converted, because this church definitely deserves more than 100%. You have done an awesome job, and I thank you very much. I appreciate all of you. I love this church. In 32 years of ministry, I have only been prompted to explain to a local church two different times, and today's the third time, a little bit about my story. I grew up in a broken home. I know what it's like to be battered and bruised and abused. I know what it's like to try to run away from those circumstances and that situation. I was sitting there thinking of the times that I would just get kicked out of our home, and there was a little rock close by, and I used to go out there in the cold of winter in New Brunswick, Canada, and I would just sit on the rock, and somehow in my mind, I believed that one day, just one day, there was going to be something that would happen that would lift me up from that horrible pit and place me upon a solid rock and a firm foundation. The little town that I lived in was St. Stephen, New Brunswick, and across this river was Calais, Maine, and our house was right on that river. And I'd look out over that river, and there was this little island. It was made up of some rocks there, and I thought, if there was some way that I could just leave this circumstance, this situation, get in that river, go over on those rocks, then my problems would be forever solved, and I would be away from this mess. When I graduated from high school, I decided to go to university. And the real reason why I went to university wasn't because I felt some calling to be a teacher, although since then I've known that it was the Lord at work. But I went to university because I wanted to escape the circumstances that I was involved with. My parents weren't able to go ahead and put me through school, so I had to go ahead and do that on my own. And I got a job at a department store. And in that department store, I earned enough money to go ahead and pay my way through school with student loans. And 38 years ago, in the month of September, I'll never forget it, there was a young lady working in that department store. She was working for me. I was her boss. She was 18 at the time. I was 19 at the time. And I knew that there was something different about that young lady, something that I really liked. And I'm not talking about Sister Poitras, by the way. You know, many times we get nervous because we're worried about whether we're able to convert somebody. Can I tell you today that God has not called you to convert someone? He's not measuring you up this afternoon by the number of conversions that you have under your belt. If he's measuring anything today, he's measuring the number of conversations that you have talked to someone about Jesus Christ, because you just never know. When you speak to somebody about the Lord, you just never know what that small act of kindness, that small word, that small conversation could literally change the course of that individual's life forever and ever. So, Sister Poitras, even though you stole the thought from me and stole the books from me from my bookshelf, because I was preparing that particular message for this particular church, you are absolutely correct. When a butterfly flaps its wings in New Mexico, it can cause a hurricane in China. And when you open your mouth and you simply witness to someone, I mean, how much would you have to hate somebody not to tell them about the greatest news on the planet? So there we were 38 years ago when she invited me to church for my first time ever. And I attended a local United Pentecostal church. And that one small conversation changed my course for eternity. And I'm glad today to tell you that I am standing upon the solid rock, that he did bring me out of a horrible pit, that he placed me upon a solid rock. He gave me a firm foundation, and he said to me, "You can lift up your eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh your help," because that is the redemptive lift that God has in place for people. So when I think about 500 Bible schools, and when I think about 632 people that are involved in short-term missions for the United Pentecostal Church, I go all the way back to that one little conversation that changed my life forever. And that young lady, Lynn Jewett, is a missionary to Guatemala and is doing a great work for the Lord. And I'm thankful for the 28 years that we had to spend in West Africa. And if you look at about 2,000 to 3,000 people that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost every one of those years, not counting the students that were taught and the people that they were able to reach, if you look at those people that were baptized in Jesus' name, it all happened because of one small conversation. I don't give glory to God for what happened way back then, but I give him glory because he lifted me up. And I have the privilege to be here today at Heaven View. I'm not looking in a pit this morning. I've got my eyes fixed on somebody up there. I'm going to make it all the way. I'm going to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's it. Why don't you clap your hands and entertain the presence of the Lord here today? I really feel like God is talking to us on this campus this weekend. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. I thank you for what you're doing even today. Hallelujah to your name. We give you praise and glory and honor. And from the book of Zechariah, chapter number 4, verses number 6 to 10. And my subject this afternoon, the Zach mentality. I want God to give me on this Sunday, before I leave here and go to that picnic, I want him to baptize me with the Zach mentality. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying," whatever situation you're going through right now, whatever circumstance you're involved with right now, could you pause and recognize with me on this particular Sunday that it is not by your own might, it is not by your own power that there will be a change, but it's by his Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The God of angels' armies is saying to you this afternoon that it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord of hosts that he begins to do a work. Thank you, Sister P, for leaving a little bit of the book for me, because you know, if you really want to fly like a butterfly, then you're going to have to stop being a caterpillar. That deserves better than 6 hand claps. If you want to fly like a butterfly, if you want to change your view today, you're going to have to stop being a caterpillar. I better go back. I know I'm the only thing standing between you and a great picnic, and I'm interested in both preaching to you and the picnic. Who art thou, O great mountain? Is there a mountain in your life this afternoon? Say, oh, Brother Poitras, it's just a little mountain. It's just like a molehill to me. The mountains, the hills, he can take care of it all today. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Verse number 8, I'm going to skip to there. More than that, more than what? More than it's not by might. It's not by power, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. More than, O great mountain, before me you will become a plain. My problem will become a plain before me. My mountain will become a plain before me. More than that, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. Verse number 10. More than that, for who hath despised the day of small things? For who hath despised the day of small things, small beginnings? So in case you're wondering, am I really going to get somewhere? I just want to give you my principal thought today. And it's this. When you take the small things in your life and you yield those things to God and they are blessed by God, those small things will bring about an increase in multiplied blessings for you. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to take an offering. That's not the type of mission service we're in today. So I'm not talking about your money right now. Well, maybe I am. But that's not my key point. Small things, when yielded to God, that are blessed by God, they will give an increase and they will bring about multiplied blessings to you for the kingdom of God. You say, well, Brother Poitras, I can't do something big for God, so I won't do anything at all. I want to change your thinking today. Because the Zach mentality teaches me that I am not to despise or dislike or detest the day of small things. When I take those small things and I take them down to a Pentecostal altar at Heaven View and I lay them on the altar, and I look up to heaven and say, well, God, what you gonna do with that right there? You'd be amazed with what he wants to do with your small thing. You say, well, Brother Poitras, my problems aren't small. Bring the big problems too. It doesn't matter the size of the problem. It just means that you're going to bring those things, you're going to put them at an altar, and you're saying, God, I'm releasing them from my hand. I have resigned as the God of the universe. And I'm going to allow you to take your rightful place, because heaven is your throne and earth is your footstool. I will do something small until I can do something big. Thank you. An amen there. And okay. I will do something small until I'm able to do something big. Because I believe, brother, that when I put those small things into the hands of God, when I yield those small things to God, that he will give the increase. For one plants, another waters, but God is the God that gives the increase. So therefore, I will do something small to the best of my ability, and I see what will happen, and I'll see what will happen when it's placed in God's hands. Sister Poitras may remember this. We had a pastor in Ghana. His name was J.W. Ansah. And I heard him praying one time. In fact, I heard him praying many times. But this particular time, he said, God, I take my little hand and I put it into your big hand. Your little problem, can you take it and put it into the hands of a great big God today? Yeah, thank you for singing that African song. Give me the right atmosphere here. Good African song. Now, I know that some people here will say that's a Jamaican song. I get it. I'll do something small to the best of my ability and see what will happen when it is placed in the hands of a mighty God. There are people here today. What little thing is it that's tormenting your mind today? What's the dream that you had that you just kind of put on the sideline? You need to bring it back out of the closet today, assuming it's a dream from the Lord. You started something, it didn't go well, so you just left it. That false start, you need to bring it back out, put it in the hands of the Lord. Maybe you are from a small church and you've given up on that. Bring that back out, put it into the hands of the Lord. Maybe you started a Bible study, it didn't go very well, so you gave up and you're not going to teach a Bible study ever again. Bring it out. Bring that little Bible study chart out. Put it back on the altar again and say, God, I want you to go ahead and bless this small thing. If you created the mouth, which you did, I also believe that you can bless me when I teach this Bible study. Take the failure that you've had in your life. Just go ahead and put it on the altar. It doesn't matter so much that you failed. What really matters is that you pick yourself back up again. Thank you, Sister P. Walmart in the picture for you. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I shall rise again. I want you to know, devil, if I ever fall, I'm getting back up again. I'm getting back in the fight again. I will be the head. I will not be the tail. There is no weapon that can be formed against me that is able to prosper. You may knock me down, but I'm going to get back up again. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord. I'm going to start moving through a lot of these notes right now. Because I believe the Lord is talking to us, and I want to hear from His word. There was this guy, his name is John Trent. He wrote a book, it's called Heart Shift. He was on the plane one day. He sat down beside an engineer. And the engineer was with NASA, and he started to ask him a question. I have a question for you. If I am only 2 degrees off when the space rocket launches, will that become a huge problem? Just 2 degrees off. When that space rocket lifts off, just 2 degrees off, will that be much of a problem? And the engineer pulled out his calculator and he started punching all of the numbers and he started trying to figure that out. And he said, well, if it's just 2 degrees off, it will miss the moon by 11,121 miles, just 2 degrees off. What I'm telling the Lord today is, if I'm 2 degrees off, I don't want to miss it. I've got heaven in view. I don't want to miss it. I want you to take me and realign me so that I'm 2 degrees right on target. Just that little shift of being 2 degrees off, you can miss it. But by the same token, if you're 2 degrees off and you start moving toward the right again, you'll right your path. Sociologists say that if you can just get 2% of a culture to try to change the culture, it will be changed. Just 2% of the culture. If 2% of you really start believing that God wants to give this church revival, just 2% of you, just 3% of you start believing that God is going to give this church apostolic revival in the last days, you can change the course of your culture in any apostolic church. Just 2%. Because like Sister Poitras said, when the butterfly flaps its wings in New Mexico, it can cause a hurricane in China. We had to really pray about whether we're going to use that word hurricane, by the way. But that's what can happen. One man said the quality of a whole culture can be changed if just 2% of the population has a new vision of what needs to be done and they start doing it. So even a small shift in the right direction can reap eternal benefits. That can happen. You say, well, Brother Poitras, I just don't have, my, the time is going fast. Countdown. You say, oh, Brother P, I ain't got no faith. That's assuming you're from the South, real South. I just ain't got it, brother. I ain't got no faith. Well, you're mistaken. And the devil wants you to think that. Because the scripture specifically says that he has dealt to every man a measure of faith. He has given every man a measure of faith. And you say, okay, well, I got that. So I have a little bit of faith, but it's not much. Well, a little bit of faith is better than no faith. So I have a little bit of faith, and certainly that's better than no faith. And then you say, well, you know, Brother Poitras, I have just a little bit of hope. Well, that's a whole lot better than no hope at all. Now, I'm wondering what God can do with a little bit of faith. Just like 2% faith. Just like the flapping of a butterfly type of faith. What can God do with that type of faith? If you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted into the sea, and just a little bit of faith will cause that tree to obey you. Because when you flap your wings in the spirit like a butterfly, there is no weapon that can be formed against you. There is no tree that can be standing in your way. Well, Sister Tia, they almost believed that. They almost believed that. Well, what about the scripture that says, if you have faith, just a little bit of faith, just as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto your mountain, O great mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it must obey you. Remove from hence, get to the yonder place, and it shall remove. And I like this. Listen carefully now. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's telling me with just a little bit of faith, just a little bit of faith, that I can speak to the mountain and the mountain must be removed. It goes to a yonder place and nothing shall be impossible to me. That's telling me that it is impossible for nothing to happen when I've got some faith. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything that is too hard for me? Is there anything that is too difficult for God? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, because you have said that nothing shall be impossible. I'm saying to you, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Somehow they're just not getting it, Sister Poitras. We've got to bring up one of those stories again from Napoleon or something. Because what I'm saying is this, that the God that I serve, it is impossible for him to do nothing when it comes to the small thing that you have placed upon his altar. There is nothing that shall be impossible, Brother Ray. Because your eye hath not seen, your ear has not heard, it has not entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for them that love him. You say, you don't understand it, Brother Portress. I'm looking at a mountain. I'm looking at a tree. I'm looking at a problem. Yes, I understand it. And that's why I say we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. We call those things that are not as if they already are. You don't understand, I've got a problem. You don't understand, I've got faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is and is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those that will diligently seek him. When you take your small problems and you put it on an altar, he is a rewarder, brother, of those that will diligently seek him. I don't want tomorrow's faith. I don't want yesterday's faith. I'm not like Mary and Martha. One of them said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's yesterday's faith. The other one said, oh, if I know that I'm going to see him again in the resurrection. Now, faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. It's still the evidence of things that are not seen. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. It goes on to explain in Romans, who against hope believed in hope, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his body now old, when he was about 100 years old. Don't have time to explain that. Talk to me at the picnic. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. But the scripture said, I've just got a little bit of faith. I've got a problem, but I've got a little bit of faith. And I refuse to stagger at the promises of God, because there are more than 8,347 promises in God's word for me. I will not stagger at his promise through unbelief, but strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. What is in your hand? It's just a rod. Give it to me. What is in your hand? It's just a jawbone. But put forth your hand, and it will slew 1,000 men. What is in your hand, David? It's just a few stones. 5 smooth stones, to be exact. What's in your hand? It's just a small piece of bread that's in my hand. What do you see up there? Oh, it's just a cloud. It's just a little cloud. It's the size of a man's hand. You better get up and start moving, because the hurricane is fixing to happen in the spirit realm. Because I hear the sound as of the abundance of rain. What are you saying? There are small things. When you take them and place them into the hands of a mighty God, He will multiply those things. No wonder the scripture said, whatsoever your hand find to do, you do it with all of your might. Because when you do it with all of your might, as you make that step towards God, God is going to make the step towards you. Just a little bit of faith, just a small thing, putting it in His hands, you will get the increase. There will be eternal results and dividends. So much good stuff here. Bye. And yeah, Tia, I know you talked about the little lad with the boy's lunch. Just some bread and just two small fish. Just a small thing. Just a little boy's lunch. And it fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. I know that in this church, and I'm going to try to bring this down to a close. Looking at the clock here. Oh, my. I know that this church is very well connected with Bethel in New York. And I thank the Lord for the people that are over there. And I thank the Lord for the people, obviously, who are here. Some months ago, I was touched by a tweet. You know, sometimes you get messages from the Bible. Sometimes you can even get some from, you know, tweets. That's why I'm thankful for Sister Tia. Social media expert. Even here during the weekend. Wow. Lord, help me. She's continued her work right here. And I've been looking at the different posts that she's posted, and definitely she's taking global connections to a higher level, and I thank the Lord for that. I've told some of my friends already that one of our posts from the weekend from Sister Tia already posted last night, already 500 likes. I mean, that's revival. I mean, if you take your little tweet, your little social media post, and you put it in the hands of social media. Wow. Going back to something spiritual, Jonathan Walker said this. My dad and our UPCI missions director, Bruce Howell, were together at Bethel on a special faith promise Bethel Sunday. The choir sang today an old gospel medley featuring a song, Just a Little While. And we have those slides of Brother Howell. Jonathan said, 50 years ago, my dad, as a young youth leader in Heron, Illinois, was directing a small choir singing Just a Little While. Now, 50 years is a long time ago. Most of you weren't born. I get it. I had to look up the words to the song. Soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage will end. Soon we'll take our heavenly journey, be at home again with friends. Heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. Some sweet day we're going over all the beauties there to share. It's just a little while. What you've encountered down here, just a little while, it's going to all be over. Just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. That was cool to me. But this is the story. A young 13-year-old boy from a troubled family, invited by Brother Walker to church, I came to church. He was moved to tears. He was sitting in the back row. My dad went and brought him to the altar, and 50 years ago in that service, Reverend Bruce Howell received the Holy Ghost after that song. Today, 50 years later, different church, different choir, the same song, and Brother Howell is there. Today, our choir unknowingly sang the same song 50 years later. The same emotions impacted our service. And I think about Brother Howell coming out of that and going to El Salvador as a missionary. I think he's probably about 25 or 26 at the time. And then looking at what God has done because he put something small on the altar there. And the growth of the church in El Salvador as Sister Tia comes and helps me out with her testimony at this time. Somebody that put something on the altar today, 1,767 churches and preaching points. Put something on the altar. Somebody witnessed to a 13-year-old. Somebody was singing in a choir just a little while. 50 years later, somebody else is there. Just singing in the choir. Same song. 50 years later, 187,000 constituents, 390 ministers. There are 19 Bible schools. And when you think of him as the general director, 3.1 million people, 35,000 churches and preaching points, 25,385 national ministers. This year, 138,000 were baptized in Jesus' name. 144,000 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're now in 224 countries of the world because there are people out there every day that put something on an altar, just a small thing on the altar.
In November of 2015, I was blessed to go to the country of El Salvador, but it wasn't because I had a way to go. The General Secretary, Brother Scotty Sladen, he also worked in El Salvador with Brother Howell, and he called me into his office one day, and I had just started working there not too long, and he pulled me into his office, and he said, "Sister Tia, in November, I'm going to a convention, and there's going to be thousands of people, probably 35,000, 40,000 people, and it's going to be awesome. People are going to get the Holy Ghost. It's going to be great." I was like, "Wow, that sounds amazing." And he said, "Well, do you want to go?" I was like, "I'm a broke Bible college student. There's no way I can afford that, but it would be awesome." And he said, "You know, when I was a young minister, I felt the call to missions, and someone invested in me. Someone believed in me, and they paid my way to go to El Salvador, and I want to do the same thing for you." And he paid my plane ticket, and he gave me a place to stay, and his family, they fed me while I was there. And while I was there, I got to see 35,000 people in the biggest stadium in El Salvador, in San Salvador, the capital, and I got to see 3,842 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. I got to see 99 people go down in the water in Jesus' name. I got to see miracles, signs, and wonders. And who am I to be there? When people ask me what the greatest gift is other than the Holy Ghost, I say, "I wish that I could give you my eyes so that you could see. And I wish that I could give you my ears so that you could hear. And I wish I could give you my heart so you could feel what I felt that day when I saw those people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, when I saw those people being filled with the Spirit. I will never forget. I will never forget." I'll never forget when they opened the gates to the stadium. They were all sitting up. They opened those gates and those people ran to the altar. They got down on their face. It was probably close to 100 degrees and they ran and they crammed as fast as they could to get to that altar. And I was standing on that platform and I took that video and I saw what God can do with something small and make it something great.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. That's El Salvador. They've got a history of 3,000 people and more receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost just in one crusade. But when you leave El Salvador and you go to China, and Tia and Angie will be going to China in just about two or three weeks from now. What's happening in China by someone that's willing to put something small on the altar and yield to God, and now we see the increase of what's going on. Small things yielded to God will receive an increase, a multiple blessings to the kingdom of God. As the musicians come back right now and as pastor gets ready to come back, it's a pretty common story of an elephant and a mouse that were great friends with each other. They came to a ravine. There was a bridge there, and the mouse jumped on the back of the elephant. And they made their way across the bridge, and they got to the other side, and the mouse looked at the elephant and said, "You know what, elephant? We really shook it up this time. We did great this time. You have any bridges? Any mountains? Any obstacles? Any hindrances in your way? Any trees in your way? Why don't you just come to the altar today? Say, God, I'm putting it on the altar. You're bigger than the biggest elephant. And we can really shake up this bridge this time. Just by me taking my problem and putting it upon your back, releasing it to you. You know what, God? You and me, we can do great things together. We can be partners together. Because after all, you said we're laborers together with God. We're partners together with God. There's just one that plants. There's another that waters. It's just a small thing yielded to God. But God takes it and he gives the increase.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. I wonder if we could stand together, and I wonder if you could just start to bring something to the altar today. Just bring your heart, your need, your circumstance. And I'd like for our children and young people to come to the altar today and bring yourself to God. Just say, God, I'm giving my all to you. It may seem little compared to somebody else, but God, I believe you can do something great with me. Even if you're a guest, if you have a need or you would like to pray, we have a few minutes here. Why don't you come and join us? Let God do something great today. Ikala da bosikata yara da riata.